2 Corinthians chapter 5. Or should I say 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Things we get a laugh at, but it is kind of funny sometimes, you know. People try to show their Bible knowledge or whatever. But I'm just going to say a word of prayer, and then we'll read a little bit here and just give what the Lord's given me tonight. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with these folks. And Lord, we pray that you bless our efforts here in this community, Lord, to reach people with the gospel. And Lord, to see lives changed and influenced, Lord, by the touch of your hand, by the word of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. Lord, pray that you'd be with my lips as I preach, Lord, this rest of service tonight. And that you'd help me to say those things which be pleasing to you. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you that it's our hope and our joy and a place where we can find refuge. And we'll thank you for all that you do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you all for the food. It was a blessing. And we do apologize for the inconvenience today earlier. But we're grateful for how God worked it all out, you know. Just went through it patiently. It's funny, Brother Pastor Leafley mentioned the trial, the tribulation there. And I actually thought about Paul, you know, Paul, how he said that, but out of the Lord, out of them all, the Lord delivered us. And the Lord always comes through. One way or another, the Lord comes through. Sometimes I get defeated and I think, man, Lord, what's going on here, you know, and but God's good, you know. He always finds, if we just rest and pray and leave it in His hands, He gives us a peace and He takes us through the hard times. And, you know, I think of some of the things going on in other countries and compared to our tribulation and trials, it doesn't even compare, really, you know. Not only is it light affliction, but it's light affliction compared to others that have suffered in this world. Persecution, and of course we get different types of persecution of sorts, but I just thank God for His goodness and always being there to comfort us, strengthen us, and provide for us. Verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive of the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I really love this chapter. It's become one of the my favorite chapters in the Bible. And I think the reason why is because there's several things in this chapter. First of all, a lot of times as a church, we focus on Matthew chapter 28 as a great commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, which is great, and certainly the Great Commission is important. And but looking at this, I see it as a commission to all of us as Christians. Sometimes we can, for one reason or another, we may separate ourselves from other parts of the passages of Scripture that we may not think apply to us. But here, Paul is speaking directly to Christians here, to the church at Corinth, and to us as individuals, beseeching us to serve God and to live for God because He's died for us. He's done so much for us. And when I was reading this a couple months ago, I put this message together a couple months ago back, and I was thinking, Lord, what is it that is really troubling the churches today? What is it that we need, you know? And I think that it's really simple. I think it's just hard for us to live out the Christian life and do what God wants us to do, do what He tells us to do. And here Paul says in verse 14, verse 13 he says, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And then as a result, we should live for God. The Bible says that the love of Christ is what constrained Paul. I've been saved for almost 25 years, and I've had my ups and downs, hills and valleys, and I still do, and I know I'm going to in the future. But one thing I've realized is that there's a lot of motivating factors sometimes in Christianity, in churches. I mean, it could be just to please a relative. It could be to please a pastor. It could be, you could be doing what you're doing to please somebody else, or maybe you think you're pleasing God, and you're just putting in your time. You could be just being faithful and that sort of thing, and those things are all good reasons why we should do what we do. But the end reason and the most important reason why we should be doing what we do is so that with the love of Christ in our hearts and letting the love of Christ constrain us. I've realized that nothing else lasts. Nothing else matters. If I don't allow the love of God to be shed abroad in my heart, then it's going to fail. I'm going to burn out. I know that because it's what the flesh does. When we get in the flesh and we do things for the wrong reasons. So Paul says the love of Christ is what constrains us. And I've seen many things over my time in Christianity I've been faithful, and there's been times that I've been in dry times of my life, and I believe it's important to be faithful, but in the end, the love of Christ has to be what constrains us. There was a day in my life when someone was constrained by the love of Christ to come to me and share the gospel. And I remember that day because it was interesting. Now that I've been saved and I've been out soul winning, I've been on visitation and involved in all the programs in the church, I think back and I think that guy, he came by himself to a mall with a handful of gospel tracts, and he just started telling people about Jesus Christ. I'm all for organized soul winning, organized door knocking. All that stuff is important. But the reason he came to the mall that day had nothing to do with what somebody told him to do. I believe he came because the love of Christ constrained him. I believe he showed up in that mall and handed me a gospel tract, as well as many others probably in the mall that day, because he was constrained by the love of God to pick up a stack of gospel tracts and go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And he said, I don't care who's looking. I don't care who's watching. I don't care if I get a pat on the back from my pastor. I don't care if I get a pat on the back from my parents. I don't care if anybody sees. I know God sees, and I know I love the Lord, and I believe this book changes lives and changes people. And so ultimately, we have to have the love of Christ to be able to share the gospel and to be able to shed our light the way God wants us to shed our light to the world. The Bible teaches us that we love Him because He first loved us. We don't have the capability to love. I know that I don't. I've been saved for 25 years. I have a family. I have 12 children. And I still get on my knees almost every day and say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do it because I don't have the strength. It's not in my power. It's in your power and by your grace that anything good is going to be accomplished in my life because it's all been your grace that's changed it to begin with. And we can't lose our focus. I remember when Paul talked to the Galatians here in the Bible, he said, Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So sometimes we get doing things in the flesh and we forget that everything we do is about the grace and the love of God and what He's done in our hearts. The Bible says, you've been called under liberty, brethren, only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so it's our job to love each other, to love God, and to learn to love like God loves. And that's one of the things I've learned as a father. I've learned, man, I don't have what it takes. But God, you do. You're the source of all wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I've gone to God many times. Lord, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing here. And God gives me help. He gives me grace. He gives me the power to be able to do all that He's asked me to do. And to be able to learn how to love the way God loves. When God said, love our enemies, it was not just to put another commandment on us. It was to show us that with His power and His love, we have the ability to love even our enemies. And when God's love is shed abroad in our hearts, we can love our enemies. Amen? I think back on the time when I worked at a place in New York City. I had a boss that was very, very difficult to work for. And he was a very hard man, you know, hardened by New York City. And I went down there to help start a church, and we helped start two churches while we were down there. But I worked the entire time, and sometimes I felt like he was just out to make my life miserable, you know. And man, sometimes he'd make my days so hard to cope with. But then one day it just hit me. I thought, you know what, Lord? I don't want Charlie to go to hell. I don't care how mean and nasty he is, you know. Really, think about it. If we really understood the Bible, I think about it many times in the book of Revelation. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Somebody, many, many people in the world, and maybe Charlie if he doesn't get saved, are going to spend eternity in hellfire. If we really just grasp, sometimes I just think of that and it's just an overwhelming thought to me. You know, God is a just God, but He's long-suffering. His justice is perfectly harnessed because He's the God of heaven. And so I just pray that God would help me to harness my thoughts for people that might hate me and hate the things that I do and still be able to give them the truth of the gospel, through the love of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I began to pray for Charlie, and I thought, I don't know if anything I ever say to him is going to help him at all. And I don't know if he's ever gotten saved. But I know this, there's been a couple of other guys that got saved there at the place I worked. I believe it was a direct result of God's help and, you know, my testimony at work there. And I don't know if he's ever gotten saved, but I remember before I left, he had such a respect for me, which was different from the beginning. And I really believe it's because God helped me to love him, and I didn't have the power myself. And we don't have the power. Sometimes there's neighbors, people that don't like us and constantly would, you know, you feel like they're just a thorn in your side. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and God asked God to get rid of it for him, and God said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. And you know, sometimes when we have weaknesses in our flesh, we just have to get the grace of God. We have to get His help. And that's really all we need. Sometimes I tell our children, I say, listen, you know, you can follow mommy and daddy, you can do what we say, and you can behave. And our children really are great. And I thank God for patient children that travel with us and everything else. But in the end, they're going to have to learn what the grace of God is. They're going to have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. The love of God is going to have to be what constrains them, not our rules, not our regulations, because I've seen too many young people go astray for many different reasons. In good, godly, so-called godly families go astray. And somehow, some way, the love of Christ was not in their hearts. I don't know what it is, but I know the answer is that the love of Christ constrains us. And that we work to make that our motivating factor for all that we do. I ask God all the time to help me to continue to love Him the way that I ought to. 2 Corinthians 5:17 there in the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When I first got saved, I had such a joy and a love to be able to just go around and tell everybody about Jesus Christ. In fact, my roommate, we'd drive around in his car sometimes, go to downtown Rochester and preach in the bus stations, and we'd put a loudspeaker on top of the car, and we had a little CB, and we'd drive around the streets of Rochester and preach, and just had a blast doing that kind of stuff. And then slowly but surely, things start happening in your Christian life, and you start losing that zeal. Like my wife said, her goal is to be a zealous Christian. We can't lose that vision. We can't lose that focus. We need to be zealous Christians all the way to the end. I think, Lord, 44 years old, there's nothing. Nobody in here has arrived. I have not arrived, and God's eternal, and He's got an eternal bank account, not only physical bank account, but a spiritual bank account for us to get the needs that we have to continue to serve Him and to continue to have the power and the abundant grace that He has for us even today. If you've been saved for any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. There's times of deep valleys at times in our lives, but God's grace is greater than all that. So let's let God's love be renewed with a renewed passion each day. 2 Corinthians 5:2 says, "For in this we groan." It says there, Paul said, "earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." And I want a desire to be close to God. We need a renewed, earnest desire for God and the things of God. We need a passion for God that exceeds anything in this world. And that's one of the things that I believe we have trouble with. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." And we focus on the things of this world. Sometimes we get enamored with everything the world has to offer, and we spend a lot of time, and we waste a lot of time. You know, there's a lot of time wrapped up in some of the stuff we do. And I spend a lot of time on the computer designing tracks and laying things out and doing stuff for pastors. And if I'm not careful, I could get caught up in the work itself. Sometimes I just got to shut my computer and say, "Lord, it's time for me to spend some time with You," and get that renewed passion, renewed vision, and the grace of God in my heart so that I can continue to do what I do by the love of God and by the grace of God. Because it's easy to stay busy sometimes and lose focus on Jesus Christ Himself. And the Bible said that's the most important thing. Our relationship with Him is the most important thing that we have to maintain as Christians. Number two, we need to love the brethren. Not only do we need to love God with a renewed passion, but we need to love the brethren with a renewed passion each day. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for to another." You know, sometimes I look and I think, Lord, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? Sometimes it just sounds so simple, but yet it's so hard. It's so hard to love God the way we ought to and love others the way we ought to. But that's what Christ said to do, and He said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." And by the way, love is not casting away all our standards, all our convictions, and all. That's the backside of love. That's reverse psychology. That's what the world would like to teach us love is all about. But that's not the truth. Love is harnessed in God's law. The Bible says that He fulfilled the law. Amen. Right there, the last verse, verse 21, says, "For He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." The law is good. Paul said the law is good. The things of the law are good. Standards are good. Convictions are good. But we have to remember what drives us is the love of Christ. The love of Christ. That's what has to drive us. And drive us to our knees so we can be a light in this world. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Paul said basically here, what I see is that Paul's letting us know he understood the terror of the Lord. He understood the day, there's coming a day when people who have not trusted Jesus Christ are going to be cast in the lake of fire for an eternity. For an eternity. So God is loving, God is gracious, but someday people are going to go to hell. And sometimes it's hard to talk about hell. You know, I have a lot of relatives that aren't saved still. My immediate family, most of my immediate family is saved, or at least they have a profession of faith. Sometimes I wonder, haven't seen a lot of fruit in some of their lives, but I trust that they say what they say. They have a testimony and all that. But some of my relatives aren't saved, and I think it's one of the hardest things to do is witness to your relatives. You know, you love them, and you're concerned about their soul, but you don't really want to tell them that there's a hell to pay for not trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Sometimes that's hard to say, but it's the truth. That's why I like handing out gospel tracts, because they don't change. I can hand it out, you know, in a non-abrasive way and say, hey, this will tell you how you can go to heaven the Bible way. And they can take that home later on, and they can read that, and they can get upset if they want to, but I'm not there anymore for them to look at me and frown and, you know, maybe curse me out or whatever, you know. But sometimes it's a cop-out. Sometimes we need to, God wants us to talk directly to people. And sometimes God's knocking on our door and say, tell them what I told you. And sometimes it's hard, you know. How do you tell a relative that you know loves you, you know, you're going to die and go to hell someday without Jesus Christ? I'm not saying you have to be that abrasive. But the fact of the matter is, Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Had a knowledge of the Bible. When we have a knowledge of the Word of God, if we believe it, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if we believe the Word of God, the Bible also says in Hebrews that without faith it's impossible to please God. So if we really have a faith in this book, we have to believe that there's an eternal place called hell, and we have to tell people about that as well as the love of God. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I believe God's given the duty of God's given us the duty to tell people how to be reconciled to Christ by sharing the gospel message with folks. And I don't always do it the way I should, but each day I say, Lord, help me to be a witness. Help me the way to be a witness. And we ought to be praying that God gives us witnessing opportunities, times to tell people about Jesus Christ. Everybody that Jesus came in contact when he was on this earth, when they went away, they had something to say. Didn't they? They had something to say about what Christ did. Or Christ would say, go and tell your friends how great things I've done for thee. And so we should never stop having a zeal to tell people about Jesus Christ. And the only way to do that is to have God's love renewed each day. And in 2 Corinthians there it talks about the new man. And I believe sometimes we get saved and we're excited about the new man, but then that flesh rears up. Paul said we had that there's two laws, the flesh warreth against the soul. And if we could just day by day live in the new man, the new spirit, and follow Jesus Christ and commit each day to the new man, not the old man, and commit our ways and our lives to him, I think we'd be much better off. And it's just one day at a time. Sometimes I get overwhelmed and I think, how am I going to do all this? And how am I going to raise 12 children? Obviously with the help of a great wife. But how am I going to do this? It's going to be one day at a time. I wake up tomorrow, it's a new day, and I have an opportunity to choose whether to walk in the new man or walk in the old man. And the Bible teaches us if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Sometimes it's so simple, but it's hard for us to do. And so I just an encouragement tonight, because I believe what Paul was saying there is that the love of Christ is what constrains us to do what we do. And it ought to always be what constrains us to do what we do. Sometimes we're just faithful because it's right to do, and I believe that is the right thing to do, to be faithful in time, dry seasons and all. But in the end, our relationship with God is what's going to get us through. And so just a little message on the love of God tonight to hopefully help us realize that, you know, I believe God's grace is just as available as it was 50 years ago or 100 or 200 years ago. The times don't matter. God is not concerned with the times. He's still on the throne, and He's in heaven, and He's the Bible says that we need to come boldly before the throne to obtain grace and help in time of need. And so sometimes I just think we're just not going to Him the way that we ought to. And I don't know the spiritual condition of anybody in here, and I'm preaching to myself because I know this has helped me. It's helped me in my life to just focus on Jesus Christ each day, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Amen. Help us to walk in His love. And I hope I can be an encouragement to you. I just believe the love of God is what needs to constrain us to do all that we do. Pastor.
All right, let's stand together tonight. This family was a blessing to you tonight. Say amen. Amen. All right, we enjoyed having them here. What a blessing it was. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the service tonight. Thank You for how You worked in our hearts.